For long, we have admired this church, this ministry, Dr. Beeky, and all the other pastors here. So I don't know what I'm doing here today. I don't know why Dr. Beeky called me to be here today. And even more, after such a sermon like this, I guess the words are unnecessary. But let's go to Obadiah. It's a strange book. It's a book with only one chapter in the Old Testament. So let's go to Obadiah chapter 1. And with the Lord's grace, I hope to understand with you this morning some things, some interesting things here. Obadiah chapter 1. We will start in the beginning with verse 1. Please have mercy on me. This is my first preaching in English, so it's a little bit difficult, but I'll try to communicate with you. So Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor, news, from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the Hittim. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the Hittim, thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." I guess I'm out here. Okay, again. Well, this is the prophecy of the Lord against the people of Edom, the descendants of Esau. Obadiah records God's severe prophecy against Edom. It is an example of what will happen to all who rise up unjustly and with cruelty against God and His people. They will receive the due retribution. That's what is recorded to us here in this prophecy. Well, the time when Obadiah wrote was maybe around 586 BC. So it's about the same time Pastor Paulo preached this morning regarding Daniel and everything else. I guess something is not working here. Let me see. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's go on. No problem. The thing here, Israel was devastated politically, economically, socially, and theologically. Israel, the Lord's chosen people, fell to the ground. They no longer possessed the priests, the temple, and the grace and mercy of the Lord over them. So the question here would be, would Israel ever rise again? Would their enemies cease to oppress them? The word of the Lord to Obadiah guaranteed that yes, a huge yes. The sovereign God was in control of all events. He would judge his enemies and save his elected people. Yes, the Lord will help them. So come again with me to the verse 1, Obadiah. Chapter 1, verse 1, there's only one chapter, so verse 1, and it says the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the Hittim. Okay, that's nice. Okay, let's go on. What is going on here? The Lord told the people of Edom that they will be judged. Why? Because they had such a war against God's people. What happened is that when Babylon, they invaded Jerusalem, the Edomites, they participate into that invasion. They took advantage of that invasion and they tried to get everything that they could from the people of Israel. So they were deceitful. And what comes here is that Esau, he had a story of contempt. Why? Because contempt, it carries the meaning of disdain, scorn, dishonor. As if you look to something unpleasant, disgusting, that you hate simply because of what it is. Like heinous crimes such as abortion. Well, the text doesn't say that the God was despising Esau or maybe Edom, but rather these people had contempt against God, His word, and His people. And that's what I want to show you this morning briefly, the contempt of Esau against God, against the word of the Lord, and also the people of the Lord. If you can go please with me to Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Genesis 25, verse 21. You will see that here. Genesis 25, 21. It says, "And Isaac entreated, he prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, he heard his prayers. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus?" It's a strange thing to ask from the Lord, why am I thus? It was as if she said, I was barren, now I conceived. But I am at the brink of being killed in this conception. So what's going on here? And she went to inquire the Lord, says verse 22. Remember that time they didn't have ultrasound examination and many other things. What she could do at that time? She prayed. And this is an important lesson for us. We need to pray when the things get out of control. We need to go to the Lord and to seek His face. Because even up to our modern age, many things will not have answers for many things. But the Lord can answer what our little science cannot answer. The Lord can answer what all the knowledge of this word cannot answer. And we shall cling to Him in prayer. Verse 23 says, "And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." This text teaches that the rivalry, the problem between Esau and Jacob was foretold and ordained by the Lord, even before they were born. The Lord inverted the birth right here, saying that Isaac should receive the promise and not Esau. However, despite the sovereign decree, we later see in Genesis that it was Esau's unholy irreverence and carnality that led him to mock and despise his birthright. And here we can see in Genesis 25, verse 27. Go just a little bit to verse 27. We can see Esau despising the truth and the person of God. See in the verse 27. "And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field." He was a strong man. He was someone with outstanding personality, resolute, who prevailed for his strength and skill. And let me not be misunderstood here. These are not wrong things. Men needs to be men. Moreover, in our society, man needs to be man. He needs to be strong. But this personality trait in Esau was a fault and not something for him to boast. We'll see that briefly in the other verses. And we can read in the verse 27, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, the meat from the hunting. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Well, Esau was a favorite of his father, and Jacob a favorite of his mother. And you can see here the family being split. They have one that the father had one that he liked most, and the mother the other that he liked most. And this was a great division among their family, a great problem. And now go to verse 29. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. It means red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? You see here, he is despising his birthright. He is acting with contempt. He is saying, no, I don't need that. I'm going to die. So why do I need this birthright right now? He's despising something very valuable. It carried the promise of the covenant and the lineage of the Messiah. It came from Abraham to Isaac. Jacob used here unlawful means to obtain the blessing that would be his by the promise and providence of God within time. But this passage shows he saw irreverence, contempt, and impulsiveness. He wouldn't die if he didn't eat. He wouldn't die. No way. He was just coming back from a hunting time. He wouldn't die. He was reckless and rash. He was concerned with the immediate rather than the spiritual, which was to maintain the covenantal blessing of Abraham and Isaac. Now look to verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Can you see here the pace, the movement of the text? He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He is a wilder, a barbaric, a defiler, a despiser. Because you can see all these things in the character of Esau. He was there just to eat, to satisfy his carnality, his desires, and then he went out. That's all that he did. He was there just to satisfy himself. Esau was there. And he broke the covenant between his family and the Lord and just walked his way out with no pressure in his mind, no difficulties in his heart. He just, oh no, I just need to eat and then I can go. This will be much more clear in his life after, because he married with two high-tide women And then another daughter of Ishmael, bringing displeasure to his parents and contempt for God, marrying those who have no covenant with the Lord. Well, this is important for us today, and I don't have many time here, but it's important to ask, do we justify ourselves and behaviors because of our personality, personal gifts, family tradition, or the way we were raised, or our ancestry? Many times, Esau did that. Oh, I'm a man of the field. I'm a hunter. I can't do that. It's expected from a man like me to do these things. Oh, we cannot do that. We cannot behave like that. Well, for example, many people in Brazil, they have ancestors from Italy, from Spain, Portugal, or from Greece. And always they used to say in Brazil, oh, I speak a lot, I speak loud, I am impulsive, and I act like this because of my ancestors. And this is a common thing in Brazil. Or maybe the opposite is true. Oh, I was raised in a very strict, in a very silent, quiet family, and that's why I'm shy to share the gospel. Oh, wow. Are we supposed to justify our sins because of our ancestry, personality, or family learned tradition? No. We cannot hide ourselves, victimizing ourselves by claiming these things. Our temperament must be determined by what we know and imitate from Christ. He is our standard. He is the goal we should follow. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New things. New life. But Esau had no new life in his life. Jesus Christ is our standard. We should imitate him and no other. It is with him, as revealed in the scriptures, and with no other, that we are to be more and more like. Well, we can see in the New Testament, if you can go there with me, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 17, we can see there the New Testament interpreting the Old Testament and saying that this was a wrong thing that Esau did. Look with me at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fall off the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, immoral, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For a little amount of food, a pottage of lentils, a cheap and sensual meal and satisfaction, he sold out his birthright. He sold the covenant with the Lord. Look to verse 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The New Testament is clear here. Esau, he only desired sinful satisfaction, delighting in worldly things, delighting in malice, delighting in the things of this realm and not in spiritual things and the truth of God. He despised the word of God. He despised the person of God. He despised the covenant of God. He despised everything about God. Well, I guess I can go to the conclusion now. Have we ever despised our Christian calling, our Christian privileges? Well, how can we do that? Living below the standards required by the Scripture. Well, despising the light we have received and the privilege that we have received to maybe being born in a country that has no persecution, being born in a country or in a family that worships the Lord, being born in a family that comes to the church and can hear good preaching and teaching, or maybe we despise the Christian friends we have, the Christian help we can find, or maybe despising the local church. Do we refuse to be corrected and still think that it's someone else's fault and not our fault? Because Esau, all the time, I don't have time to share with you this morning all this, but Esau, all the time, he was always putting the guilt, putting the blame into others' back and not in himself. He never left his ungodly way and repent truly from the heart. We see here in Hebrews chapter 12 that he sought afterward for repentance. But it was not repentance because of what he did against the Lord, or what he did against the word of the Lord, or what he did against the Lord's people. No, it was always because of what he was lacking, what he was losing, and not the Lord he was losing. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but okay. Well, just one thing to close. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we can read this. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Wow. Just like his forefather Esau, his people, Edom, followed a path of self-deception. They had a high carnal view of themselves. They found themselves what they weren't and thought they were safe in their violence and arrogance. That's what they fought all the time. They lived there in that place near Jerusalem, near Israel, that place and that city called Petra. They lived there in ancient times, and it's a place that by itself is protected like a fortress. But that fortress was deceitful because they don't have the almighty fortress from the Lord. And that's why Obadiah is saying here, oh, you are prideful. You have pride in your heart and you think you are safe. You think you have everything that you need in your little world, but you don't have safety. No, because we cannot mock the Lord. We can remember those words from Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 that says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It would come the day that they would be judged. And now verse 4 says, Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, things will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Oh, they cannot hide from the Lord. We cannot hide ourselves from the Lord. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. The Lord is searching our hearts, minds, decisions, goals, our dreams. Every time the Lord is judging them, He is seeing them. And He knows what drives our passion, what drives our heart. So, may the Lord give us today the desire to be His covenantal people, to be with Him, and to have our full delight in Him and not in the things of this world, as it was with Esau. May the Lord bless His word, your life, this day. May the Lord receive glory. Amen. Am I supposed to pray? Okay, let's pray. Oh God, I really pray to Thee that You give us today Your mind. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to have Your wishes, Your will. We need to have Your desires in our heart. Because we were born again and we were saved to be more and more like Christ. He is our standard. He is our goal. I know that we are not there yet, but grant us to grow. Grant us to be willing to get there all the time. May You forgive our sins. May You forgive our ways of contempt, of deceitfulness, of many other of the sins of Esau and Edom. And may You give us a great heart to love You, to love Your word, and to love Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.